It's here and now, and one of our favorite sounds of the past year was jazz composer and conductor Maria Schneider's new big band release, The Thompson Fields. Obviously, Grammy voters liked it as well. It's nominated for Best Large Jazz Ensemble Album. Here's a taste. Maria Schneider already has several Grammys under her belt. Winter Morning Walks, her album with soprano Dawn Upshaw, won 3, including Best Contemporary Classical Composition. You'll hear how much the land influences her sound in our interview with Maria and Dawn at hearnow.org. The Thompson Fields is also influenced after the land. It's named after a neighbor's farm where Maria grew up in Windom, Minnesota, a place of poetry and prairie and wind blowing through a green field of beans like ocean waves. Maria Schneider joined us in July to talk about it. Maria, good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
And you are so influenced by your hometown, Minnesota. The Thompson Fields, what were you trying to get across?
I happened to be home in Windom visiting friends for an agroecology summit at the Thompson Farm. And I climbed to the top of this silo with Tony Thompson. And all of a sudden that music, it was in my head. And we were looking at this scene where it's just vast and open. And I started to get very nostalgic thinking about the generation before our parents and kind of just missing that. And then also was sort of hit with this beautiful sense of community that exists in a place like that, even if it looks almost like there's nothing there. So all those things kind of came together in my mind with this music, and it came out to be this piece.
Maria Schneider, some of us think this land with nothing there is gorgeous, but I want to read you something that The Telegraph wrote in their rave review. They say, you are at a point where you have few, if any, peers. Then they go on to say, your inspiration, the southwest corner of Minnesota, is unspectacular country, but you evoke its quiet, unspectacular beauty. What do you think about that word, unspectacular?
I understand that on the surface, because I remember when my band first came to Windom, and one of the musicians looked at me just almost desperate. He said, it's just so bleak. And I know what it's like to, especially in certain seasons, look and just see this kind of emptiness. But in the weather, for one, the sky, there's so much drama between all the different seasons. And if you do start to explore the wildlife that exists in the small bits of prairie that still exist or in, you know, various places beyond just the farm fields, I mean, it's vast.
Well, let's stay with the weather. Nimbus, let's hear a little of that. Now, the liner notes, by the way, read like a small book. They're just wonderful. And they also include pictures from Audubon and photographs of yourself out in this land and a stunning picture of an incoming storm. And you write about a tornado that you and your mom witnessed when you were young. I mean, she walked right outside and you went out after her.
Mom said, I'm going outside to watch. And I was like, oh, my God. She's just gone completely batty. And I was screaming, and she was determined. And so I wasn't going to watch my or let my mom be blown to the next county. So I went out with her, and it was so spectacular. So, you know, this piece wasn't specifically written about that story, but it conjures that up.
Mention the wildlife, too. We have something here we want to play for you. Do you know what
Western meadowlark?
Yeah.
My mother can imitate that bird so well, that Inga Thompson, the mother of the Thompson family, she used to say to my mother, because the bird would sing back to my mom, and she said, you're going to destroy the sex life of that bird.
Well, then you talk about the killdeer, a bird that would feign injury, you know, making believe its wing was broken, dragging it dramatically across the ground if you got too close to a nest. What was the influence of the meadowlark, the killdeer?
Those aspects of my childhood, the appreciation of those birds, watching those things, the fact maybe that my father built a treehouse and I would watch the waterfowl, all those things come into my music and they make me who I am as a writer. The sound of my music is what it is largely because of the natural landscape that I grew up with and people that made me appreciate it so much.
Well, take us back to the Thompson Fields for this next selection we want to listen to. This is The Monarch and the Milkweed. And you write about how the monarch butterfly, one of the habitats they need is the prairie. And the Thompson family was one that preserved, you know, the native prairie that they needed. And that was what, milkweed?
Milkweed, lots of milkweed. Yeah, it's the only plant that the monarch can eat. So when it lays its eggs and the caterpillars hatch, if they're not laid on that plant that they can eat, then that's kind of the end. And so many people get rid of their milkweed. I've been planting lots of milkweed. Also, just something about this incredible web of beauty and interconnectedness of plant life, animal life, all these things. I mean, if you just sit back and you watch it and observe it, it fills you with such wonder. I mean, those are the things that make me feel like making music. It's not music that makes me feel like making music. It's something like that that makes me so excited and happy. And then I feel inspired to express something, I guess. I think that's how it works with me.
Like you say, the Western Meadowlark, we might not hear it in a song, but it just symbolizes home for you, so it might propel a song like Home. Let's listen to a little of this, because you also say that this came out of your idea to arrange the Home on the Range song that we all know, Oh, Give Me a Home Where the Buffalo Roam, but that's not in this song.
No, one day I sat down and I started playing that song, and I was like, oh, that is such a beautiful song. And I thought, maybe I'm going to arrange that for the band. And then I started it, and then it sort of went into something else. And like I sometimes do, I brought it to my band at a rehearsal and just said, can you guys play these, you know, 40 bars of this piece, and just so I can hear it. And the Home on the Range part ended up being really ridiculous. But the part that came right after it was, I thought, really beautiful. And so, and it really evoked the feeling of home, my home.
Funny that you might even still, you, Maria Schneider, might even still be hearing, Oh, Give Me a Home Where the Buffalo Roam, and thinking of long car drives across the prairie, even though that song isn't in your song anymore.
Yeah, it's a funny thing that will push you into writing and then or creating something, and then in the end, whatever you create is no longer that thing, but without that thing, it couldn't exist. And maybe that is what I'm talking about, too, with the meadowlark and the killdeer and the pictures in that CD, that those things, without those things, I wouldn't be who I am. Music or art or anything in life, you're expressing whatever has come in, and you almost can't help. Whatever those elements are that are within you, they're bound to come out in the music.
Well, and another thing we have to mention, it's a person, the influence of poet Ted Kooser.
Oh.
Yeah, his poems were on your album, Winter Morning Walks, and you take one of them Walking by Flashlight, and reprise it here, but in an instrumental version. It's his poem, November 18th.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Walking by Flashlight at 6 in the morning, my circle of light on the gravel swinging side to side. Coyote, raccoon, field mouse, sparrow, each watching from darkness, this man with the moon on a leash.
Maria Schneider, as always, thank you for taking us to the poetry of Ted Kooser, to the fields of Minnesota. We travel so far when we listen to your music. Thank you.
Thank you.
We spoke with Maria last July. The Thompson Fields has been nominated for a Grammy for Best Large Jazz Ensemble Album. The Grammy Awards are February 15th. It's here now.